many of us are familiar with the Beatitudes, way of introduction. If I say Beatitudes, many of you will say, oh, Matthew 5, 1 through 11. You know, this Sermon on the Mount was given by Jesus Christ, and they all start with blessed is. For example, blessed are the pure in heart, for they see the will of God, Matthew 5, 8. And in this, the message of the Beatitudes, especially on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is expanding on the mindset of what his followers should be doing, or what they are, and what they would need to be doing. Through the Beatitudes, he encourages his followers to live up to high standards reflecting the character of God. By striving by those standards, his followers, disciples, and we are disciples, or as we are followers in Christ, the world kind of twists that a little bit, but when you research the Bible and define what a disciple is, it's the followers of Jesus Christ, the people that chose to live by the Father draws, and we accept the challenge, or we accept his invitation, and we make a commitment by becoming baptized and repenting and agreeing to a covenant saying we will live by God's law. 60 years after the writing of the give or take, depending on which record you look at, recorded in the book of Revelation, the ascended Jesus Christ offered 7 additional Beatitudes that continue to encourage his followers, disciples, us, needing to hold on to his teaching, especially through extremely tough times. In this message, we will review each of these Beatitudes and its related blessings, and how they help encourage each and every one of us to hold fast onto his teachings. The title of this message is The 7 Beatitudes and Blessings of Revelation. Before we get into it, put your seatbelt on. There's a lot to cover, and this is just a survey. And I encourage each and every one of each of us, if we want to delve deep more into it, to do our own study. So, we'll start with the first Beatitude of Revelation. And that will be in Revelation 1, verse 3. And I'll read it from my notes. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Again, that's Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. So, the first Beatitude is, hear the words of the prophecy and keep them. Notice that Jesus uses the phrase, he who read and those who hear. There is a two-part message in this. We are not to only hear the words, but we are also to read the words of the prophecy. That is, we are to internalize them. Just not, you know, you read through it, but when you hear, you digest these words. And what are these words trying to tell us? And how do we go through our Christian journey, our journey through Jesus Christ, and internalize them? How do we apply them in keeping God's law? What is the intent of these words? What is the spiritual intent of these words? The blessing of this first beatitude is it motivates us into obedience into God's law. Just not only the physical part. The physical is just a type of the spiritual. It's the intent type of it. To love God with your whole heart, from your heart. To love fellow man with your whole heart as you love yourself. To internalize it. The blessing also moves us to conviction, to take action. Conviction requires action. It motivates us to love God with the confidence that God is in charge, and we don't fear the world. If God is before us, who can be against us? We may suffer through trials, we may be persecuted, but we know who our God is, and he will see a way through the trial in whatever fashion that he seems would be best for us. The second blessing of Revelation is found in Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. And again, I'll read it from my notes. Revelation 14, verse 13. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, "Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on." "Yes," says the Spirit, "that they may rest in their labors, and their works follow them." So the second beatitude, boiling it down, is staying faithful until the end. Many of us, all of us, we have our first love, getting called into the family of God. That's just the beginning. It's a journey to the end of the race. And sometimes, given enough time, that journey can be tedious. We can become complacent. We can lose our first love. And what we're, this beatitude that Christ encouraged us to have is to keep that first love, keep it alive, whatever way that we have to keep this love alive, and stay faithful until the end. And how do we do this? We give our lives to God, and we maintain a relationship with Him, a close relationship. He won't forget our faith, and we should not forget His faith in us. He will not forget the works that we do. Not that works save us, they don't. But He won't forget the way we live our lives and how we try to abide by His commandments, the intent of His commandments. And He, when we die, He will remember. And if we stayed faithful till the end, we shall have eternal life. Reference John 11, verse 25. We don't have to worry what the world thinks of us or how we're remembered by mankind. Of course, each of and every one of us would like to be remembered favorably. But God will remember who is faithful to Him. And death is not the end. It's just the beginning. So the blessing of the second beatitude is we will be known within the family of God by being part of His family. The third beatitude of Revelation can be found in chapter 16, verse 15. "Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." So what is the third beatitude? The third beatitude of Revelation is watching and keeping our garments. What does it mean to watch? Watch what's happening in the world. What's going on in this society? How is it drifting from God? Of course, that's very important to watch. We are to watch for the end times. And scriptural reference would be Matthew 24, 42 through 44. But there's another element of watching. That's watching ourselves. We are to look inwardly daily. We just got through over the Passover season. But we are looked to inward daily to, you know, are we doing what we need to be doing? Are we falling short here? And we will. It's just human nature. But what corrective actions and how do we ask our Father for help to overcome these trials? And some of these sins may be ongoing for life. But it's like a chart with upward trends. Every time we should be trending up towards perfection. Not that we will get there, but we'll be trending up there. So what's the blessing of this third beatitude? Christ is motivating us to righteousness, holiness, doing by doing better works and keeping the intent of His commandments. Love God and love neighbor, using His righteous law as the benchmark and as our motto, so to speak. And it's a guide to get us, not get us, but to help us obtain eternal life. The fourth beatitude of Revelation can be found in Revelation 19, verse 9. "Then he said to me, 'Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' And he said to me, 'These are the true sayings of God.'" So, the fourth beatitude is being invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Do you know what that means? We're being invited into the very family of God, from physical, eternal. And nobody gets there that on their own. It takes the sacrifice of Jesus Christ paying for our sins. That's one part of it. But we have to show commitment to God. And how do we show commitment by God? Following the first commandment. Love God with all your heart. Nothing is more important to your in your life than God. And following the second command, which can be summarized by the last six commandments, is by loving your neighbor as yourself. By doing, having that agape love to others, praying for them, helping them out, being there for them if they need your help. And what better way, no better way than helping somebody out by praying for them when they're going through a fiery trial or when they're going through any kind of challenge. And we should be praying for each other. So, as we know, the marriage of the Lamb is Christ marrying the church. And this represents being granted into the kingdom of God. It requires, built on the Beatitudes, you see there's a build up here, requires a faithfulness and endurance, even unto death. There's no better blessing than becoming part of the family of God. What's the blessing? Obviously, entrance into the kingdom of God, which is enabled by Christ's sacrifice. We show commitment by keeping both the physical and spiritual intent of the law. The sixth blessing of Revelation can be found in Revelation 22, verse 7. Behold, I am coming quickly. He who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. The sixth beatitude of Revelation is keeping the words of the prophecy of the book. It mirrors the first beatitude, the first blessing, which foreshadows the main event. What is the main event? The establishment of God's kingdom on earth and later to be handed over to the Father. By keeping, internalizing the words of the book, the whole Bible, according to the book and the book of Revelation, but the whole Word of God, which we know is the whole Bible, the inspired Word of God, it motivates us to do good works, to have righteous character, to have a close relationship with God. The blessing to live righteously and surrender to Christ now, nothing can stand in the way of us becoming part of His kingdom. The seventh beatitude can be found in Revelation 22, verse 14. And I'll read this from my notes. Verse 14 of Revelation 22. Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates of the city. The seventh beatitude, the characteristics of a Christian, a true Christian, following Jesus Christ, a point called by the Father, is to do His commandments. It refers back to, if the text refers an allusion back to to Genesis. Adam had an opportunity. He gave that opportunity up. He did not have the right to the tree of life. The right is only obtained by God's grace and by doing our part in keeping the commandments, His spiritual law. The blessing that we may have, note the word here, right. What does this mean? It's Strong's G1849 and it's pronounced ecclesia. And summarizing the definition, it's the privilege, the power, the capacity, freedom or mastery. And so what is Christ telling us? That if we follow Him and are true servants of Him, we have the right, the privilege to the tree of life, which is eternal life. What an incredible blessing that only God the Father could grant through Jesus Christ. That's one of the ultimate blessings in my opinion. So let's quickly review the seven Beatitudes. I'll just in case you missed any of your words and your notes. Hear the words of the prophecy and keep them. Staying faithful until the end. Being invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Being part of the first resurrection. I think I might have missed that one. Keeping the words of the prophecy of the book. Keep God's commandments. So in conclusion, Revelation reveals what must occur to displace Satan and his false belief system that has encaptured this world and held it hostage. Surely things will get tough in Satan's world as he intensifies his torment over all of mankind because he knows his time is short. The true followers of God, being that, will be the spear point of that target. We will endure persecutions, but if we stay faithful and have the attitudes of the Beatitudes, we will endure, proving to God the way we are faithful servants of His. Christ encouraged each and every one of us to hold fast and stay faithful, even unto death. Our example, Jesus Christ, He stayed faithful until death. He went through incredible torment that we can't even imagine. The message of the blessings and the Beatitudes is to His faithful saints. That is you, me, and everyone in this room, and everybody that's worshiping and has been called on the Sabbath day in true worship of God the Father through Jesus Christ. If we will remain faithful to him, it is Jesus' words of encouragement to help us keep it on, keep going. You will make it to the end, and your reward will be there waiting for you.